In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom. I'm glad to be with you today. We're looking at the 14th chapter of St. Mark. After 2 days was the feast of the Passover and of the unleavened bread. Let me tell you what happened at Passover. Jerusalem swells like 4 or 5 times bigger than usual. People from the Galilee region come down. They travel 90 miles or 70 to 90 miles to have Jerusalem in their heart as they celebrate the Passover Lord of the Lord, the Passover with the Lamb. This is something that swells. Jerusalem swells. It's almost, I can give an example. Nantucket, I believe, has 20,000 people in the winter, and it goes up to 80,000 in the summer. So I'm saying that they went, the feast of Passover and unleavened bread was near, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by some trick and put him to death. Oh yes, they want him dead, especially since the cleansing of the temple, when he threw them out and he said, "My house should be called a house of prayer. You have made it a den of thieves." But they said, "Not on the feast day." Why? "Lest there be an uproar of the people," because the people knew who Jesus was. They had followed him. They had received healing from him. They had received deliverance from him. And being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at dinner, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious, and she broke the box and poured it on his head. So we see this woman comes and anoints the body of Jesus with this very expensive spikenard. We can do the same thing as we praise and praise you, Lord. Bless you, Jesus, wonderful God. We adore you, we praise you, we bless you, as we sit at his feet and worship him. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, "Why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor." And they murmured against her. Not Jesus, though. Jesus said, "Let her alone. Let her alone, let her alone. She hath wrought a good work on me, for you always have the poor with you, and whatsoever you may do for them, do good, but you will not always have me with you." She hath done what she could. She had come aforehand to anoint my body for burial. So he talks about his death, that this anointing is for his death. "Truly, truly, I say to you, wherever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her." You see, anything we do for Jesus will become a memorial in heaven. Anything we do for Jesus become a memorial in heaven. When we do anything for Jesus, or praise him, or dance before him, or glorify him, it becomes a memorial in heaven. Or be silent in his presence and allow the Holy Spirit to touch us. It's a memorial in heaven. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went into the chief priest to betray Jesus. And when they heard it, they were glad, and they promised to give him money, and he sought how he might conveniently betray the Lord. And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, "Where will you go and prepare that we might have the Passover?" And he sent 2 of his disciples and said unto them, "Go you into the city, and you shall meet a man bearing a pitcher of water, follow him. Men never carried the water. That was the woman's job. So this is going to be very easy to find. The man is carrying a pitcher of water. Go and follow him. And wherever he shall go, you say to the good man of the house, the master says, where is your guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? Jesus is a prophet. He knows this is going to happen. And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us. This is the great feast of the Passover. This is the great feast of the Passover. And Jesus will do something different at this Passover. And his disciples went forth and came into the city, and found, as he had said unto them, that they made ready the Passover. And in the evening he came with the 12. And as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, one of you that eats with me shall betray me. He knew that one was going to betray him. One of his friends is going to betray him. Betrayal for 30 pieces of silver? My Lord, my Lord. And they began to be sorrowful and to say unto him one by one, is it I? And another said, is it I? And he answered and said unto them, it is the one of the 12 that dines with me and dips with me in the dish. And the Son of Man indeed goes as if it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better if he had never been born. And as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and said, take and eat, this is my body. This is the sacrifice of Calvary. This is the sacrifice of Calvary. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said, this is my blood, the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Truly, truly, I say to you, I will not drink any more fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it new in the kingdom of God. So Jesus does something very different at the Passover. He gives us his body and blood. St. Paul says, as often as you do this, not as seldom, you proclaim the death of the Lord. Make present the death of the Lord, the sacrificial death of the Lord. And when they had all sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Oh, they're all going to say, not me, Lord, not me, Lord, especially Peter. But after that I have been raised from the dead, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended by you, yet will not I. I'm not going to be offended by you, O God, O Lord. And Jesus said unto him, truly, truly, I say to you, this day, even in this night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times. But he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with you, I will not deny you in any way. Likewise also said they all. But you see, it's not the way it happened. It's not the way it happened. They ran for their lives. Let's continue. And they came to a place which was called Gethsemane. Now, to get to Gethsemane from that room, you have to cross the Kidron Valley into the Garden of Gethsemane. It is the place where the olive is crushed. And he said unto his disciples, sit here while I shall pray. And he took with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he said unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Stay here with me and watch. You see, Jesus is already taking on the sins of the world. He's already being that magnet that's drawing all the evil of the world into him. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, this hour might pass from him. In Luke's gospel, the hour does pass from him because God gives Jesus an angel to minister to him. This is not being afraid. Jesus is not afraid to die. He is bearing the wounds and the sins of the world, starting in Gethsemane. Your wounds, your sins, my wounds, my sins, your trauma, my trauma. Oh, yes, you know, trauma is something that makes people do evil things. Trauma is something that makes people do evil things. And he went forward a little and fell to the ground and prayed that if it were possible, this hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible with you. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. And we see an angel of the Lord in Luke's gospel that ministers to Jesus. He never again says, take this away. And he came and found them sleeping and said unto Peter, Simon, are you sleeping? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit is truly willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh, yes, is that not true? The flesh is weak. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Just think of the whole experience of fasting. Oh, yes, I'm going to fast, we say. And then by the end of the day, we're eating because our stomach is squeaking. Well, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And again, he went away and prayed and spoke the same words. And when he returned, he found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy, neither did they want to answer him. But you see, they were experiencing a little of the pain that Jesus was experiencing, and they fell asleep. They couldn't deal with it. They couldn't deal with it. Have you ever been in the presence of someone who was very depressed? You go into the room, you might be happy, and all of a sudden you feel this cloud over you, and it's not the cloud of glory. It's a cloud of doom. And you've got to pierce that cloud with the blood of Jesus, with the power of God. This is real. This is real. And he came to them a third time and said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough. The hour has come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go, for my betrayer is close at hand. And immediately, while he yet spake, while he spoke, Judas came, one of the 12, with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the scribes and the elders. And he that betrayed him had given them a warning, whoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Take him and lead him safely away. It's interesting, you know, Jesus didn't look any different than the 12. They didn't know which one Jesus was. And what happens? I'm going to kiss the one that you're going to destroy. I'm going to kiss the one. Oh, Lord, how many times have we betrayed you? How many times have we betrayed you? We don't want to give you a kiss one day and tell people we don't know you the next day. Forgive us, Lord. The spirit truly is willing, but the flesh is truly weak. As soon as he was come, he goes straightway to Jesus and said, Master, Master, and he kissed him. And they laid their hands on Jesus and took him. And one of them that stood by drew a sword and smote the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. John tells us the name of that young servant was Malchus, and Jesus healed the ear. And Jesus answered and said unto them, have you come out as against a thief with swords and staves to take me? I was daily with you in the temple teaching, and you did not take me, but the scripture must be fulfilled. And they all forsook him. That's sad. they all forsook him. They ran away. They were afraid. They let fear rule their lives. They all forsook him. Don't forsake Jesus. Don't forsake Jesus. No matter what happens, pray for the grace never to forsake Jesus. No matter how we are persecuted, we need the grace never to forsake Jesus. And they all forsook him and fled. And there followed him a certain young man, having a linen cloth cast about his naked body. And the young man laid hold on him. And he left the linen cloth and fled from them naked. Who is this young man? A lot of the scripture scholars say that the young man is Mark himself. Mark himself, clothed with the linen cloth, and runs away naked. This is something that only Mark tells us about. This is the identification of who this person is. Now, they could be wrong. They could be wrong, but I think they're right. This is Mark himself. And they led Jesus away to the high priest, and with him were assembled all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes, and Peter followed him far off at a distance. Even in the palace of the high priest, he sat with the servants and warmed himself by the fire. And the chief priests and all the council sought for witnesses against Jesus to put him to death. They found none. They found none. And for many, they bore false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and that bear false witness against Jesus, saying, "We heard him say, I will destroy the temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another made without hands." But neither so did their witness agree. Jesus was talking about the temple of his body. That's from John 2. But neither so did their witnesses agree. And the chief priest, or the high priest, stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, "Answer us, what is it which these witnesses have against you?" But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, "Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus said, "I am. And you shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming in the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest rent his clothes. He thought Jesus was blaspheming. And said, "What need do we have of any witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" And they all condemned him, guilty of death. Let me tell you, he was not guilty at all. It was our sins he bore. It was our guilt he took to himself. It was our darkness. And some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to buffet him, and to say to him, "Prophesy." And the servants did strike him with palms of their hands. You know, this is so sad. He that did nothing wrong, just treating him like an animal, treating Jesus like an animal. Jesus doesn't complain. Why? He's absorbing the sins and the trauma of the world in him. Yes, he is. And he will do that until he says, "It is finished," in John's gospel. And Peter was beneath in the palace, and there come one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "You were with Jesus of Nazareth." But Peter denied it, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest." And he went out of the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, "Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech agrees with that." In other words, the people of Galilee spoke, maybe we'll say, with an accent. Whatever they did, whatever they spoke, he knew that they were Galileans, that Peter was a Galilean. And he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not this man of whom you speak. And the second time the cock crew, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, Before the cock crows twice, you shall deny me three times. And when he thought thereon, he wept. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation of the elders and the scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus and carried him away and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked Jesus, Are you the king of the Jews? And he answered and said to him, You say it. And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. Why? He's absorbing the sins of the world, your sins and my sins. He answers nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, Answer thou nothing? Behold, many things that witness against you. But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. Now at the feast, Pilate released unto them one prisoner, whomsoever they desired at the feast of the Passover. It was a custom to release one prisoner. And there was one named Barabbas, which lay bound with them, and they made insurrection with him, who had committed murder in the insurrection. So this is a bad man. This is a murderer. This is someone that... you wouldn't want to meet on the dark alley. And the multitude cried aloud and began to desire him to do as he had ever done unto them. And Pilate answered them, Will you have me release unto you the king of the Jews? For he knew that the priest had delivered him for envy. And the chief priest moved the people, and he should rather release Barabbas unto them. The chief priest would going to the crowd, say, No, Barabbas, release Barabbas. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, What will you then have me do? Should I release the king of the Jews? And they cried out again, Crucify him, crucify him. Then Pilate said unto them, What evil has he done? And they cried out more exceedingly, Crucify him, crucify him. And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. We'll pick that up tomorrow, that the Lord Jesus Christ, for our sake, took upon himself the sins of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. It all started really with the cleansing at the temple. Oh, yes, they hated him. But when he cleansed the temple, they said, What authority did he have to do this in the Lord's house? Well, he had the authority because it was his father's house, and they had made it a den of thieves. From that moment, the scribes and the Pharisees decided that he had to die, that he had to die. Little did they know that it was God's will that he suffer and die, to save us from hell, to save you from hell, to save me from hell. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to your word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. The glory is the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. So people have asked me, well, it tells us in the Bible about the Last Supper. Why is it that Protestants don't believe in the Eucharist? Well, I'm going to tell you why. Because it also tells us that the Word of God is important. Why is it that Catholics don't know the Word of God? It's the same answer. The Catholics decided to be Eucharistic, and we are called to the Word of God as well as to the Eucharist. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.